Hey guys, this is Courtney Cole, and you're listening to the Love Freak Podcast. If you're loving this healing journey that we're on together through this podcast, be sure to check out my latest EP, Earthquake, which is all about my own personal healing journey that led me to doing this very podcast. You can check it out on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, or basically anywhere you love listening to music. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you're continuing to align with love and that you're creating some beautiful, beautiful things. Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature. Hey guys, welcome to the Love Freak Podcast. I am Courtney Cole, and I am really glad that you're here today. Yesterday was International Women's Day, and I'm choosing to celebrate all week because why not? Today and every day, we should celebrate the beautiful qualities of the divine feminine in each of us. Male or female, we can all embrace the power of that feminine energy that we all possess. It's that energy that gives us access to divine creativity, divine inspiration, and to our knowing, to our intuition. It's that nurturing, compassionate part of ourselves that allows us to be vulnerable and that leads us to our own healing, as well as to our connectivity with the earth and that divine oneness that I talk about so often. It's a beautiful energy, a beautiful spiritual energy that I think that we should all embrace. And speaking of powerful women, I am bringing you on today my friend Kylie Macbeth. She's a writer, earth guardian, and co-steward of Zura Health. She supports women in breaking out of codependent patterns, remembering who they are and their soul's purpose for being here at this time in our world. She's on a mission to reclaim the feminine principle and make this world a safe, just, and liberated place to call home. And she's such a light. I follow her on Instagram, and it brings so much joy to my spirit. Every single day, she gifts the world with just such beautiful messages that help to reconnect us with the truest parts of ourselves so that we can show up as our most expressive selves. And we're going to cover several things today. We're going to talk about all things healing. Healing the divine feminine, healing generational trauma, and ultimately reconnecting with the lost parts of ourselves that keep us separated from fully living in our divine truth. Kylie, it's such an honor to have you on the Love Free Podcast today. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's so amazing. You inspire me so much every day on social media. You're just such a gift to the world. You have such a beautiful story of how healing kind of led you to create a new and beautiful lifestyle practice for yourself. But it also led you to kind of birth a whole new wellness practice that is really healing and helping a lot of other people live their most fulfilling experience in this life. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about the journey of how you created Zura Health?
Yeah. Sorry. I laugh because I'm like, oh, it's been such a journey. Truly I bet. Such a journey. I mean, I'm still being taught by Zura. I consider Zura an entity. I relate to Zura as if it is a living being with a specific mission and purpose for being here on this planet. And I happened to be one of the lucky co-stewards of Zura Health. So the origin story of Zura. Well, where do I want to start this time? I'll just bring you to the point where the rock bottom, the initiation that led me to opening up my own eyes and asking different questions, like, why am I here? What's the purpose? And what's really important? And that, or those questions, started to really drop into my field after my divorce. I got married at 22, divorced at 24, and that catalyzed my whole journey inwards. Before, I was living a very, I'll say, surface life, but really how I define that is I was just stuck in my survival strategies of being the perfectionist, people-pleasing, codependent, cool girl. And it took me a rock bottom, like a divorce, to really shake me out of those identities, those roles that I had adapted into due to early childhood experience and, you know, a lot of other things. So in that process of divorce, I was really angry because I started to wake up to the fact that I had not been given the tools, information, education, resources, or anything that was going to actually support me in being able to live a fulfilling life, let alone a life of awareness with the understanding of how my internal world worked, my belief systems, my unconscious mind, my emotions. Like, none of that was ever taught. Wow. And I was like, why aren't we teaching this? Like, how are we supposed to live without this information? So at 24, I had a lot of gusto and I was pretty angry because I was pissed off at the world that nobody had given me this information, because I believed at that time that if I had had this information, I wouldn't have experienced the amount of pain I did in that initiation after my divorce. However, looking back, it is now a gift and a blessing. So with that being said, my twin sister and I, Jess, co-founded Zura Health after having some conversations around, like, this work needs to be out in the world. And I was in a float tank. My life is such a funny journey. I was in a float tank and I had a vision, and the vision was a 7-layer framework, which is the Zura Health framework that we utilize today in our coaching certification method. And it really was shown to me that we need to examine the interrelationship between all of these layers, from the physical, emotional, mental, energetic, spiritual, relational, and environmental.
Wow. And absolutely.
And from that vision, it kind of just led the whole journey. And we stepped forward and we wanted to integrate into the modern healthcare system. And we did that for a while by moving into the insurance world and corporate world, and realized that we were running into a lot of red tape in that world and trying to fit into these boxes of who that system wanted us to become. And meanwhile, we were getting exhausted and bogged down and, like, tired, because we're like, oh my gosh, we're not actually shifting the needle. And the awareness that really came to Jess and I in the last 18 months or so was, we need to stop making Zura into who the world wants her to be, and instead let her be who she is.
Yes, exactly.
And as soon as we did that, and as soon as we dropped into, like, reclaiming the feminine principle through the Zura Health program and bringing in ceremony, meditation, medicine women, healers, spiritual, like, everything shifted, and the just all of the floodgates opened, and it was like a journey home. Zura took us on a journey home, not only within ourselves, but also in our relationship to her and the work that we are here to do as stewards of Zura. So that's the origin.
Wow. And it's turned out to be this beautiful, beautiful gift to the world. Like, I love seeing what it's become. And I'm so glad that you didn't fit into a lot of those boxes, because I really feel the honesty in the program. And, you know, there are a lot of programs out there that do feel very clinical and that can get the job done, but there's something just really spiritual and, I don't know. It's a very connecting kind of feeling that comes with Zura Health and everything that you guys offer. So I definitely feel like you guys should all go check out Zura Health if you're listening right now. It's a really, really beautiful organization that they've developed. But it seems like there is kind of that rock bottom moment in all of our lives where we have these moments of like intense clarity that kind of just totally wake us up from that sleep state and consciousness that we kind of float through life in sometimes, just totally unaware of our potential. And a lot of times just, it seems like it's the pain and the heartache that kind of knocks us over the head to wake us up. But like you said, looking back, it's such a gift because it's a gift of awareness. And yeah. A lot of time that awareness kind of shows us those punctured parts of ourselves or the belief systems that we've kind of learned and adopted that kind of keep us from fully being who we were designed to be.
Yeah.
Right. So through your process of self-discovery, which I kind of like to consider self-discovery as more of a remembering of who we are, because it's like a coming to in a sense. I really think that like on a soul level, the spirit always knows what it is, right?
Absolutely.
But what are some of those false conditionings and belief systems in your life that you noticed that needed healing and that you were holding on to that kind of were keeping you from living and creating more in line with the truth of all you are?
Oh my gosh. Where do you even start on that question?
Right.
I had so many. I think one of the biggest things was, you know, the belief that who I am in my true essence is not welcome here, or that it's too much, or that it'll rock the boat, or people, or I'll be abandoned. Another huge one was, if I step into my power, I will lose the people closest to me, or I might be killed. Like, those are like ancient fears, but they've still popped up into my awareness at certain points in my journey as I continue to take more action and stand for more liberation collectively. And I'd say the other big one was, and something I've been navigating for a long time, is the conditioning around that kind of loops into the codependent pattern of, I need to make sure that everybody else is okay so that I'm okay. And so being stuck in that loop, constantly kept me disconnected from my own body, from my own sense of self, because I was so hypervigilant and trying to manage the external world in order to ensure my safety. So it was like, the narrative was like, your needs, your desires, your emotions don't matter. And you need to take care and manage everybody else so that you're actually okay.
Wow.
And I am responsible for other people's emotions and feelings. That was another big one that I had to continue to like untangle from.
Wow. There's a lot to carry.
There's a lot there. I mean, that question will look different. The answers will look different based off of which year of my life I'm living in, you know?
Sure. And in that work, like, first of all, I got to say and commend you on being able to be like, this is it, like pinpointing all of those things. And that's, I just think, such an amazing step in being able to say like, this is where I'm at. This is what I struggle with. How many people float through life not even being aware that they just kind of accept like, this is just how I am. You know what I mean? This is just life. But can you, in the work that you've done, like, are you able to kind of trace back and see where some of those belief systems come from?
The origin of those belief systems?
Yeah.
I mean, how far do you want to go?
Far as you'll take us, Kylie, let's go.
Okay. So actually what wanted to come through after you started talking again, was this other belief system that I've been navigating out of that feels so deep in my core is I am less than, and I am broken. Those kept me so small and powerless for a majority of my life. And I think the roots of those patterns aren't actually originating in my body. I think they originate in my lineage. I think that those are narratives that the women through my matrilineal line have been carrying for hundreds, if not thousands of years under this patriarchal system.
Wow. I'm just passing down.
Like, those
here's a gift.
Systems. Yeah. Here you go. And to be honest, I really think that, I mean, I have a lot of gratitude for the survival strategies and the narratives that are associated with those survival strategies that have been passed down in my lineage, because I do think that it's actually what has allowed us to survive.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, not comfortable. And I do believe that there are many of us here who are here to break the cycles of some of these narratives and patterns for our lineage. And what a gift that is, that we have been entrusted with that work.
100%.
It's not easy though. Like, I won't say that, but we do have a lot of support, unseen and seen support, if we are doing this work. So
yeah, it's a lot of untangling, right?
A lot of remembering, a lot of untangling, a lot of grief. I say that grief is the medicine of remembrance.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Because it's all of the emotional armor that we've had to put on over our hearts, and, you know, the psychological armor and all of these strategies that we've utilized in order to survive that are keeping us separate from our own essence, separate from our own ability to connect with who we are. And in that, how can you connect authentically or intimately with anybody else if you don't even know the roots of your own being? Like, it's very challenging to do. And of course, I have so much compassion for all humans on this journey, because there's a lot to untangle.
There is a lot, but it's amazing. Like, the ones who are able to kind of come to and recognize it, because it's like each generation we go down, we get further and further away from that essence by all of these things that we're kind of passing down, you know? And so I notice it, gosh, in my own family so much. Like, I have the most beautiful mother in the whole world, you know? And she's one of my best friends in the whole world, but it's like, growing up, I could see, I see it now. I see so much of her pain and, you know, some of the unhealed parts in herself that have directly kind of affected me. And I grow up, and if I am anything like my mom, I'm like the proudest person in the world. Like, I want to be exactly like her. But it's amazing how now, being able to have conversations with her and being able for us to pinpoint those things, and we can kind of heal each other. You know, I think those conversations are so important to have.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Luckily, and I love your story and narrative, and my mom and I have done so much work around this. And I'm just amazed at what is possible when we lean into these conversations in our relationships with our mother. Some of us have the access and ability to do that. Some of us in this lifetime might have to be consciously estranged depending on the circumstance, but luckily it sounds like we have mothers who are willing to go into this work and to feel the grief and to feel the rage of being oppressed from these patriarchal systems and frameworks that have disconnected us from our power, from our sense of worth and our sense of belonging as very important pillars of life. And the pain that has come down the generations it's a big load, but to be able to be here now and to do that work and you're in yourself, but also in your relationship with your mother, I actually think that is probably the most sacred work we can do at this time. One of the most, I really do believe that, because it's healing the mother archetype. It's healing the feminine principle. It's healing our relationship to Mother Earth. It's, you know, when I look at patriarchy and the systems and how this is intergenerational trauma has traveled down the lines, it's kind of pitted women against women and mothers against daughters, because there's a double bind sometimes in that the narrative that patriarchy perpetuates through the mother usually is like, stay in this box, stay in this lane and act like a lady and be loyal to this system and you'll be okay. And I'll love you. Right. So not abandon who you are, but like, become this and you'll
receive love, to receive safety, acceptance. Yeah.
Right. And that's good messaging, because it's kept us safe. But the double bind is, well, if we don't go down that path and we choose to step into our true potential and we choose to break through some of these cycles, these bonds, these narratives, we potentially disrupt and or put our relationship with our mother on a very rocky foundation, which I don't know about you, but that's
terrifying.
That's the biggest fear I've ever had to face in my life, is losing my biological mother.
Absolutely.
And I have, again, so much compassion for us in that dynamic. And this is not just a conversation for daughters. I mean, it's also a conversation for sons or any children no matter how they identify on the gender spectrum, like this relationship with mom is crucial for our healing journey, because it is our attachment blueprint. It is the way we've attached in that core relationship. And so we have to go there in order to be able to, I believe, step into what I call liberated love.
Oh, I love that. Liberated love. That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, and today is International Women's Day. This week we're celebrating women. So yeah. I love that we're kind of talking about this, but you know, there's whether you're male, like you said, like we all have that divine feminine within us. And it's those parts that we can heal that bring out that in each of us, you know, like it's that creativity that's associated with the defined feminine that allows us to express and allows us to freely give and be who we are. It's the divine feminine in each of us that connects us to our intuition, that gives us that knowing and connects us with spirit, that gives us that gentle confidence to show up as we are. There's so much connected and associated with the divine feminine that even if you are a male, healing some of those wounds or whatever, I just feel like brings you even deeper in connection with that spirit, that all encompassing masculine and feminine energy. You know what I mean?
Yes. Into sacred union with them both.
Sacred. Yes, exactly. 100%. So,
and that's why women doing this work to reclaim the feminine within themselves can sometimes really activate a lot in men who haven't looked at or examined the wounding to their own feminine principle internally. It's like, whew, it brings up a lot of grief for all of us.
Right. I know. Cause I mean, just like we feel like we have to fit into a box, so do men. You know, absolutely. And so, and they feel like they have to lean to that masculinity all the time, but it's like, no, there's a healthy balance here.
And no one's winning under these systems. No one's winning. That's the illusion. The illusion is that somebody's winning, but nobody is winning in these current oppressive systems that we live in.
You're so right when you said that you have to kind of like, you abandon yourself, you feel like you have to fit in these boxes or play these parts. And you abandon the potential of all that you can kind of come to and be and show up as in this world. These dismantling processes, I feel like, are so important. And this self-awareness is just such an important thing to kind of come to and look at. And with all of these processes that you've kind of gone through, do you still feel like you are in progress in your healing? Is that something that's still happening for you today?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that's of the belief that we are always activating soul lessons and there is always more to be unearthed, but I don't operate in the paradigm that I'm broken and I need to be fixed anymore. It's more so there are so many more miracles around the corner, and that's not to spiritually bypass. I realize that I will likely face pain. That's just a part of this human experience, but
totally
what I'm really wanting to step into and remember and put more energy towards is the belief that what would life be like if I started to activate soul lessons from my highest vibrational path forward? With ease, grace, and love and joy. Like what if we can learn through that instead of just learning through pain and suffering? I don't know the answer to that question, but in my experience, because of the work I've done and the healing of my own nervous system and attachment system, that my nervous system has so much capacity to be with the full range of the human experience. So for me, I'm not afraid of anything.
Ooh,
you know, like I feel unconditionally okay in myself. And I so deeply trust my connection to God, to divine, to spirit that and so from that space, I feel so open to life where I'm like,
I love that.
How good can it get?
Oh, I love that. There is so much that you can learn through joy and through those higher vibrational experiences. Like I think about, I'm a musician and I live in Los Angeles. I live right by the beach and I go down there all the time because that's where I experience my joy. That's where I feel most connected, is when my feet are in the sand, I'm grounded, looking at the ocean, anywhere near the ocean, whatever. I love it. But it's amazing what comes through me in that joy. Like, there's so much intense inspiration and creativity that is free flowing. Like, I'm releasing an EP coming up, and I have this song on there that I wrote by myself. And I wrote it by sitting in the, like, right next to the ocean, downloaded this whole poem. And I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And this poem is like, I swear to God, I did not write it. It was from my higher self, or whoever's around me right now watching over me, gifted me these words. They're beautiful. And it's just talking about healing. And so I went home, I wrote this, I didn't even edit the lyrics, went home. And the first melody I came up with is the melody that is the song. And I'm just like, wow, if you can connect to that freedom and that joy, there is so much creativity and expression, not just in songwriting or in any art form, but just in being able to just fully express all the wonderful things that you are in spirit.
Yeah. You know what? And I think what's so beautiful about that story, and I'm so excited to listen to that song, because I think songs of that nature in resonance with nature, it feels like to me when you speak about it, just holds so much medicine in them.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
But it's like what I hear you speaking to, and something that I've been percolating on myself, is our own inner well, that like this inner well of creativity, of wisdom, of truth, of expression, that is something for us to tend to and to cultivate by creating spaces in nature or in silence. And, you know, this world, we lack that a lot.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, oh my gosh, can we create space to actually even hear, to listen? And that's
what a concept.
What a concept. You know, our elders and our ancestors used to do that all the time. But in this, you know, modern technological age, I'm actually terrified, not to go into that, but just so deeply terrified about our tether to technology. Like, here we are, of course, like utilizing it in this way, and it's really beautiful, but I just want to make sure that we all remember the unseen world that you just talked about and tapped into. Yeah. It's that world that is informing this world. And we, in this materialistic, mechanical, technological age, are forgetting that world. And 100%. That is a really big problem. And so, can we tend to our own inner wells? And these inner wells aren't just ours. I think they are connected to a larger wellspring of wisdom that we all have access to, and that we all have to tap into, to bring what it is that we are here uniquely to bring into this world. Cause I do believe everybody is here for a reason at this time.
For sure.
So how do we tend to that? You know, and I think your story really illustrates you tending to that creative wellspring.
And it's just a matter of being open to it, right? I mean, it's getting out of that. It's choosing love. I talk about this a lot. I'm like, gosh, you can get up in the morning and you can choose love. You can choose fear. And it's like, if you get up and you choose fear, you're operating from that mindset of the lack, of the pain, of the victimhood, of the, oh my gosh, I'm only learning through my pain or whatever. But when you choose the love, you connect with that joy, and you connect with those higher vibrational, that higher vibrational alignment that allows that to come through. Yeah. You know, and we're just manifest beings of this higher dimension, and we're so connected to it. And I just think that sometimes some of those really beautiful things, some of the most beautiful things are the ones that are of that we can't see. So just kind of trusting that joy, I think, is important.
Yeah. Well, I think what leads to scarcity or our severance from the very wellspring that we're discussing.
Absolutely.
Our disconnection from that is what leads to our severance to our own soul, spirit, and the greater mystery and magic that is this life. And also, you know, it hooks us into this colonial capitalist machine that constantly says you need something outside of yourself, whether that's external validation or status or this, this, and this in order to be worthy, in order to be, I don't know. I think we're falsely.
We're strangling ourselves in a way.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's hard to even like put words around because I see the visual and I'm just like, ah, I have so much compassion for us, for all of humanity as we continue to try to like untangle ourselves from this mess. But it's like inside out instead of outside in. Like that is,
yes,
that's where we need to like come back to. And I'm not just talking about for self. I think this is something that, you know, community care, sitting in circle, returning to the land. Like we are earth people. I am an earth guardian. I am here to protect Mother Earth. And that's something I hold very sacred. And I think sometimes due to patriarchal models of spirituality, we can, you know, spiritually bypass the human experience, the body, and our connection to the land. But I don't see a disconnect there. I see a disconnect there in our current models, but I really want to invite us all to, is to restore our connection to Mother Earth and also heal our attachment to Mother Earth. I think a lot of us have an unconscious death wish that they don't want to be here due to trauma, and that's valid.
Right.
Not to get too heavy on everyone, but something we have to start to name.
True.
Because we're trying to eject and ascend. And I want to offer a different narrative, which is it's time to actually descend into our bodies, excavate the shame, the pain, the anger, and really come back home to our full experience as human beings and earth and co-stewards of Mother Earth and life at this time.
I love that. That's beautiful. It's plugging into a different source, right? Instead of plugging into kind of that capitalistic society or whatever, it's like, let's plug into spirit and let it download and just let it come through us in this experience.
Well, that's the living bridge,
right? It's exactly, right?
It's up, but it's also down.
Yeah.
You must be able to ground that wisdom, that, you know,
connection. Let it live.
Yeah. Embody. Let it live. Incarnation. Embody.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I love that. That's a great, that gives me chill bumps. I love it. So now through Zura Health, you have been guiding women in particular, which I love this for International Women's Day. This is awesome. But you're guiding women in particular through kind of their own healing and through transitional times in their life in order to live the life that they're capable of living, live in their potential. I feel like there's so many of us now kind of walking through a lot of very transitional times, coming out of this pandemic and all that entails, you know, whether it be finding a new job, a new living situation, like a totally new life path, or just the super confronting personal things that kind of this pandemic has brought up. Like, I'll be totally honest with you, I have struggled deeply with old pain throughout this pandemic, and it's kind of shown a light on so many dark, dusty crevices in my inner world that I haven't kind of cleaned out yet, like an old dusty attic that I've just have been ignoring cleaning out for a while, you know. But it's a lot of old family stuff and strong, dark, sometimes belief systems that stem from those things and that kind of keep me in that, like you said, that little mindset, that small mindset, when I know deep down that I'm big and that I'm powerful. And all these things are just being brought up to heal, right? But it's sometimes that weight that kind of makes you feel like you're underwater sometimes. So for those people, or those women, anyone really, who is kind of going through some of these transitional moments, what would you tell them?
Oh my gosh. Where to begin? You know, I would say you're not broken. Your body and everything you're carrying is a result of the world we've been living in for hundreds and thousands of years. And I think you are appropriately responding to that. And with that being said, I would say that let this be a moment in time where you stop, where you pause, where you invite in some curiosity around why this is here, what it is here to tell you, what it is here to show you, what it is here to initiate you into. And also to deeply trust this process and call in the support you need in order to fully complete this initiation. It is my belief that at this time, yes, we are being invited into some of the deepest, darkest, oldest, ancient, primordial belief patterns and things that have been lodged into our nervous systems and our bodies for a very long time. And for me, in order to heal some of those threads, that must be done and held via sacred witness through a community, through a shared community, whether that's sisterhood, brotherhood, or just community in general. It's like, how can we start to have these conversations and allow ourselves to move out of isolation and aloneness and into togetherness, into a deeper remembrance of the importance of community and ourselves as social beings. And with that, I mean, there's a lot to be said here on this healing journey, but you're not alone.
Absolutely. It's that oneness, that community that that reminds us of that divine oneness too, that kind of connects us back to, once again, like a truth of what we are in that oneness. So I think that that's true. And Zura Health is a great place to start. If you don't have a community, Kylie and Jess have started a beautiful community over there at Zura Health. So definitely check that out for sure. But in kind of these transitional periods, I feel like feeling lost is kind of the name of the game, right? I've spoken with so many people, too many people to count, that have really been struggling with depression and being able to kind of confidently look at themselves in the mirror because life's kind of looking different at this point than they thought it would, or having these kind of moments of self-awareness has been leading that. I mean, it's ultimately leading to healing, but for a while it makes you kind of question like what you've been doing all these years. And more often than not, like, I feel like we spend a lot of our unconscious lives kind of playing this part, like we said, you know, an actor, an actress, to try and receive love and acceptance. And then you become aware, and then you're here in your adult life and you're like, well, shit, who am I? So how do we reconnect with those deepest, truest parts of ourselves when we feel so disconnected at times from kind of knowing who that person even is?
Well, first I really want to widen the lens on which we hold this process of disorientation or feeling lost. I think that in our culture, we don't necessarily honor these times of dismantling, of disorientation. And it's like, historically, in maybe in our ancestry, we did honor these times. These were very sacred times in somebody's lives as they were crossing thresholds and moving through initiations from one version into the next version. And so I think bringing in ritual, ceremony, community into this process is important. Although sometimes we need to walk through these initiations, depending on who you are and what you're moving through. Sometimes they do require, you know, a healthy balance between aloneness and being able to take your inward journey, but still being tethered to community. I think that really, really supports, and something I just want to name. And the next piece here, and I don't even know if I'm remembering the question, but it feels important, is cultivating a felt sense of safety. And I think for many of us, depending on our experiences, lived, historical, intergenerational, that there is a lot of trauma in the body and in our nervous system and stuck survival responses that really need to be held so that they can complete and so that they can be released and integrated, so that we can feel safer, like that felt sense of safety in our own bodies and experience. I think that's an important part of this process as we transition from one version to the next version, is the nervous system support and help. And I mean, I have such a different relationship with uncertainty now as somebody who used to be a professional grasper and did not let go of anything, any identity, any role, any survival. I mean, it was so deeply locked into my nervous system that letting go literally felt like a death. Like I was like, okay,
I'm a professional grasper too.
Yeah. It's so fun. And then you finally get to a point where your body completely shuts down and the choice is life or death. And it's like, okay, well, you better release this. And that's kind of what I call a small D death experience, is where you're not actually dying physically, but a part of you, like an old identity, an old strategy, is dying. Like it does feel like a small D death experience.
Right.
And in that there is disorientation, there is dismantling, there is grief, there is, you know, all of the emotions that are associated with that. And so I just want to normalize that process. I don't think we're normalizing it. And instead we're medicating it. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that to some degree, depending on where you're at in your experience here. But I don't want the narratives to be that something's wrong. What if this is just a part of the process, the alchemy of initiation, and how 100%. Can you bring in the support that you need in order to fully walk through this initiation and release one version and step into the next, which requires you to trust that there is something more on the other side.
Yes.
It requires you to have some deep trust in something else. And that's kind of full looping our conversation of reconnecting to our inner wellspring and also to the mystery, to Mother Earth, to things that will support us in trusting the path forward,
Absolutely. We do get so wrapped up in the fact that, oh, there's something wrong with us. We're broken. And we want to fix it right away because we don't want to feel that. So I think medicating, you know, And like you said, there's nothing wrong with that, but being able to fully address and give yourself the inner time that you need to be able to address and heal those things, I think is 100% important.
This is soul work.
So it's soul work. That's why we're soul work, right? That's why we're here. So let's take full advantage of why we're here and do the work. And this podcast is all about discovering and healing the parts of ourselves that kind of keep us from living our most honest, creative expression of who we are, which I believe is grounded in that divine love and inspiration and creativity and joy and all of those things. And I think that we're all like these little amazing works of arts just running around. But I also believe that we're the artists co-creating with this masterful source creator that kind of gives us this gift of existence, that gives us this gift of form so that we can mold it, so that we can be it, so that we can have fun with it, and that we can just grow and evolve. So in that sense, what is authentic creativity in your opinion?
I mean, for me, this is such a simple answer. I mean, it's being, like, it's you in your beingness. It's removing the mask. It's stepping into vulnerability. It's allowing people to actually see, witness, hold, hear, listen to the wisdom, to the magic, to the medicine that is you in your true essence. You know, and I think there's a lot of blocks that get in the way of us being able to allow someone in, allow someone to see whether it's the joy, the creativity, or the pain or the sorrow. Like, I don't care what it is, but can we start to find safe spaces to be witnessed, to be held, and to be loved in our fullness?
Yes. And there are, like you said, the blocks. There's these creative blocks. Like, I think about this a lot. I did a post on this where it was like, there's these blocks that kind of come in. And when you think of like a stereotypical creative block, you think of it as like, oh, I have writer's block. Like nothing's flowing from me. It's really just like kind of the strangle of inspiration, right? And we develop these belief systems. We develop these conditionings and these societal normalities that are the blocks that block us kind of from that divine inspiration that does allow us to express in full form. So it's like, kind of like, I was going to ask you this, like, how does that healing process of those blocks kind of fit into that definition of authentic creativity? Like, how can healing lead to living that more authentic creative expression of ourselves.
I mean, for me, healing, when I sit with the context in which you just shared, which was so beautiful, is the releasing of survival strategies. It is the releasing of the mask, of the wound, of not even releasing. It's just not letting the protection be in the driver's seat, but instead letting connection and authenticity be in the driver's seat of your life. So we have these protective strategies, and then we have, you know, our authentic true essence. And it's like, for many of us, because of what we've been through and some of the conditioning that you were just mentioning, is we kind of don't ever allow anybody to see us. And so the healing is step by step, layer by layer, letting somebody hold us, witness us, so that we can rewire or reprogram our systems to believe that this part too is welcome. This part too belongs here. And in my experience, every single time I've leaned in, whether that's allowing somebody to see my anger, which is something that has been completely hidden for most of my life, or to somebody see me dance, which has also been completely hidden. It's like the full spectrum. It was like all of it was hidden.
Wow.
And I noticed, like, that's an edge, right? That's an edge to let my partner see me dance in a way. And it's like, oh, am I okay? Am I safe? And it's like, yes. Or will I be rejected? And it's like, whatever. At some point, you just have to cross that threshold and go with it. And every single time I now step forward and allow certain parts of myself to be seen that I hadn't historically allowed, there is a deep healing taking place. There is a reprogramming of the beliefs that say, like, this part too belongs. One, because I am actually allowing it to step into belonging by allowing it to be witnessed, but then also the mirroring back, which, you know, I think in our personal development world, sometimes there's a lack of significance that might be associated with what we receive from the external. But listen, it obviously impacts us. Like,
for sure,
we have to be around people who can actually honor us in a way to move through and fully heal and integrate these protective strategies so that we can step into that true essence. So
I love that. Like, you just spoke so much to me. Like, I'm giving everyone homework this week. Everyone has to go. That's the homework, is to go, like, just don't be hidden. I love that. Like, I think about just with my partner, you know, we live together, and some of the things that I do, like dancing, something as simple as dancing, that feels so weird, right? Just be like, I'm going to dance in front of my partner, because I'm like, he'll think I'm weird, or he thinks that I move weird, or what. Like, no, be seen. I want to be seen, and I want you guys all out there to be seen this week. So that's the homework this week. Don't be hidden.
I love it.
dance in front of your partner. Let those parts of yourself that you do keep hidden be seen. I think that that's such a beautiful sentiment. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So 528 Hertz is known as the love frequency, hence the name of the podcast, The Love Freak. And it's an ancient solfeggio healing frequency that priests and healers used to heal ailments within the body and reprogram the mind with higher vibrational thought patterns. And it's a frequency that just promotes love, healing, and creativity. So to kind of bring it all home, Kylie, what is one creative tip that you'd offer to everyone for living a life more in line with their most divine creative selves?
Creative tip. You know, for me, a mantra that I've always kind of leaned on in moments of choice, or I'll say in moments where I'm at a choice point to hide or to reveal, is like, all of me is welcome here.
Ah, yeah. We all need to say that to ourselves every day.
We just all need to say that more. So that would be my creative tip. Post that on your wall.
Yeah. Post it on your mirror.
Yeah.
Write it out.
Yeah.
You belong here. It's so true.
You belong here. You're needed here, and you matter. That's true. True. True.
Absolutely. Kylie, thank you so much for being on this podcast today. Where can everyone find you online?
Courtney, thank you so much for having me. I love connecting with you.
Same.
And thank you to all of the listeners for
taking this ride with us today. The best place to find me is on Instagram at beingisbeautiful or my personal website, kyliemcbeth.com.
kyliemcbeth.com.
Oh, guys, also, go. Or Mind. Yes. The app Do You Mind is also an app where I share sessions, lessons from ranging from healing the patriarchy wound all the way to healing codependency. So if that's something of interest, it's free. So you can download that in the App Store. Do You Mind?
I love that. And there's community right there too. So community. I love it. Boom. Yes. Bringing it home.
Boom.
Guys, seriously, go follow Kylie. She is so inspirational. Just such a beautiful heart and just doing the work that matters. So definitely go check her out at Being Is Beautiful. And Kylie, thanks again for being on the Love Freak podcast.
Such an honor.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.